Falls and more. I love Sunday. I love Sunday. I love being in His church. I love being with His people. I love being able to just enter into the presence of God. And you know what's really exciting? To be a part of a vibrant church. To be a part of a body of believers who love God, who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And don't stop there. They take the commission seriously about going forth and sharing the word and making disciples of all the nations. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today, about being a vibrant church. You know, membership isn't just the only thing about a vibrant church. A vibrant church should be preaching and teaching the word of God. My desire, my prayer is to do that and be faithful to that to you every week. That falls also to our Sunday school teachers and small group leaders. You need to be teaching. And as the pastor of the church, I hope to be directing those people in that direction. That they are also teaching the Word of God in our small groups and Sunday school settings. Having new members come in, yes. But also having new people accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. We had one just recently. We had the Lambert's daughter accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. And so, to know new believers, not too long ago, not only did James become a member, but he accepted Christ as Lord and Savior in his life, and we got to baptize him. And we baptized Jimmy. And so, baptisms and confessions of faith and memberships, teaching and preaching the word, those are signs of a healthy, vibrant church. And I hope that we continue, and our desire and our heart and our focus is in that direction constantly, focusing on Christ and going where He is leading, and we follow right where He is. Not to make the prayer of, God, I want to do this, please bless this. No. Because then it's your desire. What we need to be, and the sign of a healthy, vibrant church, is that we are saying, God, where are you? Where are you leading? Where are you directing? I want to go. I want to go where that is. We joked a little bit last week. You guys made me laugh. I was laughing this week about it. If God put it on your heart, I want you to do this. I want you to go here. Would you do it? Would you do it? I hope that your answer is yes. I heard a few yeses out there. I hope that's true for everyone. You know, part of this licensing weekend, I get asked a lot of questions. Whew, I think I'm already worn out. I'm not sure I've recovered yet. But Michelle gets asked some questions as well. And one of the advisory board asked her, if your husband was called, oh, you know what? Hold on, don't freak out. I'm not being called anywhere. I realize that. But they asked her, your husband's call, God may say to him at some point, I want you to go to Timbuktu. That was literally the word they used. Would you go? Would you be in support of that? So I kind of turned that on you guys. If God called you to be a part of something or go to Timbuktu, would you go? Would you go? A healthy, vibrant church are people that respond positively to that. Because we want to be within the will of God. We want to be where He is going and where He is leading. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2. And specifically, we're going to look at verses 36 through 47. And I want to read those verses to you before we begin. So Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. I'm reading God's word. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many others, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow. I don't think we could put 3,000 people in here. I'm just kind of looking around. I think we would exceed seating capacity. But what a wonderful problem to have. Let me continue if I find my spot. Sorry. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is God's word that we read. I want to share a story with you. It's a gentleman that some of you may recognize the name. I will tell you who he is. His name is Stan Toler. And Stan Toler is a pastor, was a pastor. He was an author. And for those of us that are in the Church of the Nazarene, he is a former general superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene. He told a story one time, and he wrote it in several of his books, and any of you are familiar with Stan Toler, the joke, and he said it about himself, so I have no problem relaying it. There's not a thought that entered Stan Toler's mind that he didn't write into a book, because he wrote about that many books. But Stan Toler, he tells a story where he went to visit a church in Southeast Asia, and Dr. Chow is the pastor of that church. Still is to this day. And Dr. Toler went to investigate this church. And he wanted to find out because, you know, part of our job as pastors, we have to report all kinds of numbers. It's the administrative side of the job that, you know, gets a little tedious, but we have to do that every year. We're coming up to the end of the fiscal year. If you guys understand fiscal years, that ends May 31st. And so guess what I'll be doing the last 3 weeks of May? Filling out stacks of reports. But Dr. Toler wanted to go and investigate this church because the numbers that were being reported almost seemed unreal. This church was designated at the time, and I believe, I'll have to check, I was trying to check, but I just kind of ran out of time, but I believe they are still the fastest growing church in the Nazarene denomination, and they are the biggest church in the Church of the Nazarene. And so I want to share a number with you. Because some of you are thinking, okay, so how big are they? Well, they're just a little bit bigger than us. At last count, their membership is now exceeded 30,000 members. One church. One church. 30,000 members. It's getting to the point where Dr. Chow says it's hard to keep track of, to be honest. It is really hard to keep track of. Listen to this. They have so many members and not enough space that the members are only allowed to attend a church service once a month. Because they have so many people and they want everyone to be able to attend a service that they actually give you a schedule. Can you imagine? Keith, here's your schedule. You can come the third Sunday of the month. But more than just Sunday. They have service 7 days a week, 30, 28, 30, 31 days a month, whatever month you're in. Fill in the blank there. Leap year, 29. But you get one time a month. Can you imagine me saying, Barb, Tuesday mornings, 9 a.m., that's your time. Come. And Stan Toler You know, he made an appointment. He had to actually make an appointment with a pastor. Can you imagine a general superintendent? I can't imagine. Maybe I should personalize this. A general superintendent called me and saying, hey, I'm going to stop by. Can you make some time? The answer to that, by the way, is not no. If a GS ever calls, the answer to that is not no. But can you imagine him calling and saying, Dr. Chow, I need some time. I need to talk to you. And when he arrived, he tells in that story that when he arrived, it was a midweek time. It was a 9 a.m. on a Tuesday or whatever it was. And when he came, the church was filled. And Dr. Chow had to have somebody else preach just to be able to have time to talk to Dr. Toler. And he said, what is going on? What are you doing? I mean, honestly, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm preaching the word. And the people are believing. And the people are in turn doing the same thing. He said, the day that I visited, Dr. Chow was later on in the day going to baptize 2,000 people. They were going to baptize 2,000 people. I got to tell you, if you were here for Steve Wheeler, there's only one response to that. So if you were, exactly, wow, because there is no other response to that. I think I'd be a little tired, honestly, baptizing 2,000 people in one service. I might have to go sit down for a little bit. So Lachlan Church of the Nazarene, can you imagine baptizing 2,000 people? Can you imagine 2,000 people trying to get in this place to hear the word of God? Wow. You know, back in January, it's hard to believe, but Michelle and I celebrated 3 years of pastoring you, being here and pastoring this church. What a tremendous blessing. 3 years back in January. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine if we had been able to lead one person a week, every week for the last 3 years to the Lord? One person a week, every week for the last 3 years. That would be 156 new believers. So I asked them myself, what am I doing? What are you doing? Wouldn't it be awesome to know that we would have 156 new believers in here? And it's not about them being here, but 156 new believers into the kingdom of God. And sometimes people would say, yeah, but be realistic. There's no way that's going to happen, right? One new believer every week, 52 weeks a year, for 3 years. Well, now I'm approaching 3 1/4, 3 1/2, I don't know, wherever we are. There's no way. Do you think Dr. Chow says no way? Do you think he literally said, no way? There's no way I'm going to ever baptize 2,000 people in one day. I don't think he says that. I do know this, though. And I believe this with every part of my being. God wants people saved. God wants people to know him and be in relationship with him, to repent of their sins and turn towards him and accept him as Jesus Christ. Today, we're celebrating new members. By the way, I didn't know the tradition, by the way, of circling around. Thank you for learning that. I love the fact that the church welcomed them and hugged them and shook hands with them. That was great. I loved that. But we celebrate these new members. And each one of them we know because it's part of the membership. You confess and profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's part of what I asked you. And I know the one thing is about three paragraphs and you felt like, wow, that was a lot. But they profess a belief. Will we ever see 2,000 people being baptized at Lachlan Church of the Nazarene someday? Man, I hope so. Man, I hope so. Because there is a part of me that would go, ooh, I don't know about that. And then I caught myself going, really? You're eliminating the power of God? Way to go, Darren. Way to go, Pastor. Man, I hope so. How about 2,000 a month? How about 2,000 a year? Not a day, How about 2,000 in a year? I got to tell you, we've got some number logistics there. There's only, I actually pulled up some demographics. There's only 3,462 people in Lachlan. So if we did 2,000 even in a year, it'd only take us a little over, you know, year and a half. We'd hit them all. We'd hit them all. Praise God if that ever happened, by the way. Can you imagine living in a community where every single person claimed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Do you think that community would be different? And more importantly, to claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but to live that out in their daily lives. I think that community would probably change. I think some things would be different. The truth is, God wants His church to be a vibrant church. He wants His church to be alive. He wants His church to be winning the lost. He wants His church to be growing and maturing in their faith. He wants to know you. So, Lachlan Church of the Nazarene, are we going to strive to be a vibrant church? I think we do a pretty good job. And I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm really not. We do a pretty good job. But man, I think we could do a whole lot better. Me included. Me included. To be a vibrant church. So it actually made me go and look. Vibrant. I'm using this word over and over, and I kept writing it down. Vibrant, vibrant. So sometimes I have to go back and read the meaning. So I looked up the word vibrant, and it means to have a resounding life. Have a resounding life in Christ. Have a resounding life carrying forward the scriptures. Have a resounding life that pronounces Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Does your life reflect that? Are you a vibrant Christian? Are you a vibrant follower of Christ in your daily life, not just on Sunday morning when we come here and we get all, well, I was going to say dressed up, but I have a t-shirt on, so. But we come, and so not just for an hour on Sunday morning. Do you have a vibrant life in Christ on Monday morning at 8 a.m.? I know that one's a little tougher, right? But do you? Do we have that resounding life? You know, I look at some of the adults who are trying to keep up and look good and succeed in life. You know, I look back over my own life, and there's been times where that was true. We talked this weekend about carrying our burden. One of the burdens we talked about is, do you carry the burden of success? Do you want to be successful? Is that one of the burdens you carry? That's true for a lot of people in life. And I hate to say that, that's true for pastors in the pulpit. Success may look a little different for them. Success may not necessarily be what corporate America might say, but success is, and because we do have to fill out reports, unfortunately we do have to look at numbers. Sometimes it's like, wow, is my church growing? Wow, was our giving up to par? Wow, is somebody gotten baptized this year? You know, those are things that we mark success. Man, I hope we don't grow for those reasons. If we're growing just so we can put on a report or a piece of paper that we had 12 new members. If we're baptizing people just to say, hey, we had some baptisms this year. Hey, we had a couple people pronounce faith, new members, or new believers. Looks good on my report. If that's the reason, stop. We need to stop right there. That is not the reason. We do it because of the kingdom of God. We do it for His glory. I got to tell you, I really struggled to say this next part. She's going to be mad at me. I'll just tell you that right now. I'm going to be in trouble later. But one of the people that demonstrates a consistent life pointed towards Christ is my own wife. I really mean that. I truly mean that. It doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter what's happening in our life. I got to tell you, a spiritual stronghold in my life is sitting right there. Sitting right there. I'm so thankful that God gave me a life partner that's as strong in her faith as she is. My desire, and I know we've got some single people here. So my desire is, if you do not have a partner, perhaps you have someone that comes alongside of you, that partners with you in life, that is someone you can lean to and lean on and lean into and rely upon, that points you and directs you towards God. It's my hope and desire for every single person. I look at the scripture, and I look what Peter replied, where it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The promise is for you. The promise is for each and every one of us. It says in verse 39, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for whom the Lord will call. Verse 40. And 41 and 42. I'm sitting here, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of scrolling. And I'm looking at these verses. And he's calling people to have a vibrant life, to be a vibrant body of believers. Repent, be baptized, be a part of a local community of believers. That's my desire for us here at Lockland Church of the Nazarene. You know, sometimes I can be an emotional person, if you haven't picked up on that. Sometimes I really try to be, you know, I'm like, okay, you're the pastor, keep it together. Things sometimes make me cry. Unfortunately, I had to talk about something, and I say unfortunately because it was a hard part of my life that made me cry yesterday, right in the middle of my ordination meeting. Of all places to cry and act like a bumbling idiot when you're trying to talk about this call in your life and you start crying. I was so mad at myself. Later on in the evening, I thought about it. I'm crying over what I saw as brokenness in a former church that I was a part of. And it's what made me cry. And I still hurt for my friend who did something horrible. And it made me hurt. And I think about that hurt that I feel from that, even to this day. It's 14 years later. Imagine the hurt that God feels for lost people. My hurt cannot even come close to the hurt that he feels for lost people. So as a vibrant church, we need to be doing what we are called to do, what we read about in the book of Acts, especially chapter 2. Joined together, preaching and teaching and sharing the word, and so that those come into relationship with Jesus Christ and are saved. To win over the lost, to be used of God so that people know him. So I call us today. I kind of want to land at this point. Challenging us. I think we are a vibrant church. A little bit. I love this church. And we're doing some good things. The best thing is following Christ. The first and foremost thing is following Christ. But let's agree to be and challenge each other to take that to another level. And continue sharing Christ everywhere we go. In everything we do. Not just coming in here on a Sunday or a Wednesday night or a Sunday night and being vibrant and going, okay, now I gotta switch to work mode. Or now I gotta switch to parent mode. Or now I need to switch to the neighbor mode. No. Exactly. We are 100% of the time in Christ mode. 100% of the time. Being a vibrant church and affecting our community everywhere. So that people understand and are one and are in a relationship with Christ. A vibrant church. I believe that's what Christ calls us to be. So my question for you is, are you going to do that? It's really a pretty easy question. Do you desire to be that? Because sometimes we do things out of obligation. Yeah, I got to go do this. Great, got that marked off. Whew. No. We should desire, we should want to be a vibrant church. We should be a church that, honestly, you should have to be squeezing together in the pews. And it's not about the numbers, but it's the lost are coming because they know something is different here. They see something different in the people, and they got to know what it is. They got to know what it is. I've shared with you guys a little bit of my story in the past. I got reminded of it this weekend because you have to write out, and they have to write out your faith journey. That's one of the questions you have to do ahead of time. And you have to tell everything. Mine is multiple pages long. Most people's are. And it reminded me back to when I first accepted Christ in my 20s. And the difference it made. But I remember before making that decision, I knew something was missing. But more importantly, what I saw in some other people. They got something I don't have. They have something I don't have. I need to find out what it is. We should live such a vibrant life in everything we do that people are going, what is different about you? Now, sometimes they may ask that question because let's just face it, we're a little different. I mean, I've got somebody in my own family that wears Pittsburgh Steelers shirts, so, you know, we're a little different. So we are a little bit different. But we need to be different that people see Christ in us. So let's move forward today and focus and desire and hope to be a vibrant church in our community so that people come to know Christ. It'd be great to see them here, but if they would just attend a church somewhere and become a part of a body of believers, man, that would be fantastic. I would love to see the community of Lachlan, the community of Arlington Heights, the community of Reading, Ohio, and let's just keep going because we have people that live beyond those three areas. That communities are changed because the people living in them are living vibrant lives for Christ. So let me close in prayer. So if you'll bow your head with me, and let's pray to be a vibrant church. Heavenly Father, we see the words that we get in Acts. I see Dr. Chow's church, and I see the reports and what's going on there. Father, we desire to be where you are. We desire to be a vibrant church, to be on fire for you, to live out what it means to be in relationship with you. Father, we're just asking for the Holy Spirit to come and just touch us and be with us on a daily basis so that we live out being a vibrant church. Father, we just love you. We praise you in all things. Amen. If you'll stand, let me pronounce this benediction and then we can go.